You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
She will project her personality. She will sell her personality. She will not try to out-policy Joe Biden.
He has to be able to say less. She has to be able to know more.
Those guys are brilliant.
They were brilliant. The she, of course, being Governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, and the he, Senator Joe Biden, the two vice presidential candidates who debated last night in St. Louis. And the two who were talking were Rita Farrell, a former Reuters correspondent who's covered Biden a long time, and Larry Persily, a longtime Alaska journalist and former employee in Sarah Palin's Washington office. They both join us now. Good morning. And Larry, let's start with you. Lots of questions this week about how Palin would do, and you said there would be a lot of personality. How did she compare last night to the Sarah Palin you know?
Well, I think she was more comfortable last night. She tried to cram less into her answers. That was her problem with Katie Couric. She tried to repeat everything she had tried to memorize during her briefings. It was the folksy, smiling, enthusiastic Palin. She talked about darn right and hockey mom and Joe Sixpack, doggone it, betcha, you bet, shout out to the third graders, dictators hate America. She was comfortable, and she avoided getting into details. She went with the campaign attack ads.
Okay, Larry, let's listen to a bit of what she said.
Go to a kid's soccer game on Saturday and turn to any parent there on the sideline and ask them, how are you feeling about the economy? And I'll bet you're going to hear some fear in that parent's voice.
Now, that's the kind of language that got her the governorship in Alaska, right?
Right, and that's the kind of language that excited the masses at the Republican National Convention a month ago.
Larry, although one of our listeners said that actually Americans don't say doggone it, they haven't for the last 20 years. So I learned that this morning.
Well, it depends where you live, right?
Right, exactly. And Rita, you basically said that Joe Biden was going to have to be careful and not talk too much, essentially. How do you think he did?
Oh, he did fine because the format restricted him, and he was very much aware of that and had his answers ready accordingly. So I thought he did very well. I thought he handled himself just carefully and thoughtfully and made his points. What I wanted to see was, while I looked at this debate, I thought, what would it be like under a Biden presidency? What would it be like under a Palin presidency? Because that's what we're really looking at. So he, when his one moment when he broke up, I thought that was interesting because during his entire career, he really didn't mention the talk about the death of his wife and the child way back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And now he's made that something in this campaign, and that's affected him. So
you're referring to when he was talking about when his first wife died and his daughter died, what it was like to be a single father.
And his annoyance, he was obviously annoyed when Sarah Palin suggested that as a mom raising children, as she would put it, that she understood how people felt. And he said, what about, he himself had raised his two boys, made a great effort to be with them by coming home from Washington every single night. And that was a moment when she had her permanent grin on her when she was talking, mm-hmm. and that kind of went off her face when he made his point that as a father, he was there for his children too. So she can't just control that particular area of
the debate. But for the most part, Biden had a lot of details. He clearly showed that he's knowledgeable about the issues. Let's listen to a bit of what he said.
John McCain has voted 20 times against funding alternative energy sources and thinks, I guess, the only answer is drill, drill, drill.
Now, you noted yesterday that this is really his strong suit. He's a very smart man who's very well versed on the issues.
Yes, he is, and he's comfortable speaking. If there had been follow-up questions, that would have made the debate really interesting. This way, it was just performance. But if there'd been follow-up questions on anything, he would have been comfortable dealing with them because he has that depth. I don't know about Palin. That seemed to be her weak point when she was being interviewed by Katie Couric and others. So that would have been a more telling format than just here's a question, then let her go where she wants to go with it and not have to respond with any particular depth of knowledge to repeat what I've said, but he was professional. He was knowledgeable. He was passionate. He was tough. Mm-hmm. She was spunky. She was unflappable. She
right.
stayed on her message, which was allowed as a result of not having follow-up questions. And she was a cheerleader for McCain and for the Republican Party, which is part of her role.
Absolutely. And let's listen to exactly how she did that in talking about the war in Iraq.
Barack Obama voted against funding troops there after promising that he would not do so. And Senator Biden, I respected you when you called him out on that. You said that his vote was political, and you said it would cost lives. And Barack Obama at first said he would not do that. He turned around under political pressure, and he voted against funding the troops.
You know, Larry, when I looked at Biden, when she would do this throwing it back at him kind of stuff, you did that, and I, you know, give you creds for that sort of thing. It seemed like she was really rattling Biden, particularly in the first 20 minutes. Did you notice that, Larry?
Oh, it looked a little bit like he was biting his lip. Though my TV is an old 25-year-old Zenith with a 19-inch screen and the blip wasn't that big, but yeah, I got that impression a little bit. You know, it's her constant smiling and her voice, her sort of digging in. It can be grating, and I'm sure Biden kept telling himself, don't take the bait, don't bite back, don't start a fight, be calm.
But he did, near the very end of the debate, seem to, all of those emotions, or at least some of them, seem to have caught up with him. Let's hear what he said.
Let's talk about the maverick John McCain is. And again, I love him. He's been a maverick on some issues, but he has been no maverick on the things that matter to people's lives. He voted 4 out of 5 times for George Bush's budget, which put us $500 billion in debt this year and over $3 trillion in debt since he's got there. He has not been a maverick in providing health care for people. He has voted against. He voted against including another 3.6 million children in coverage that of the existing health care plan when he voted in the United States Senate. He's not been a maverick when it comes to education. He has not supported tax cuts and significant changes for people being able to send their kids to college. He's not been a maverick on the war. He's not been a maverick on virtually anything that generally affects the things that people really talk about around their kitchen table.
Rita, that was like a dam opening up.
Yes, it was. And this is what happens when he gets into as Larry said, he kept himself under control, and he did. He did very well in that. But then this kicks in, this irritation with what he considers nonsense or something that's not forthcoming. And then if they'd had much more time, if they just could go free flow instead of 1.5 minutes and 30-second follow-ups, that would have come to the fore. His anger would have come out because he was very impatient about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not hear that in him until the very end, as you point out.
And Larry, there was a lot of pressure on Sarah Palin to deliver a decent performance, if not more than that. And there are many this morning who say that she met that just fine. And so she's really proved that she's capable of the first rule, which is, as a vice presidential candidate, not to do any harm to your presidential candidate.
Right. I guess the expectations were low enough. You're right. She met that first hurdle. She did no damage. But did she prove she could be the president of the United States? Not even close. I mean, there are a couple key questions which she just avoided. She was asked one in particular where it was, what would the president have to drop from his plan that we're hearing about during the campaign? What would he have to drop because of the economic mess the country's in? And she turned it into an anti-oil company speech. She really couldn't answer it.
I just wonder, though, if this debate wasn't completely cast as a contrast of styles, and that people looking at this debate weren't really focused on issues. Maybe they were in the St. Louis Hall there, but in general, people looked to see that Sarah Palin, she's not scary, and Joe Biden, he's not annoying. End of story. We can move on and talk about Barack Obama and John McCain. That's my view.
I think that as soon as the markets open, we find out what happens with Congress and that package, that bailout package, this will be forgotten. But
yeah,
sometimes it felt like judging the Olympics, you know, degree of difficulty and execution.
I'm the East German judge. I give everybody a 3. Yeah.
Listen, we want to thank you for coming back and joining us this morning.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Rita Farrell, a former Reuters correspondent who's covered Biden for some time, and Lara Persily, a longtime Alaska journalist and a former employee of Sarah Palin's.